worship God. Simply because of who he is. He doesn't even have to do anything for us, but just because he's God, he's worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Y'all can do better than that. I'm talking about the God who woke you up this morning. I'm talking about the God who is giving you breath even at this moment. I'm talking about the God who has kept you in those moments where you feel like you wanted to give up. That's the God. Just because of who he is. And if truth be told, he doesn't owe us anything, but I'm thankful that he loved me enough that he extended grace and mercy to me all the days of my life. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Before we get started, I wanted to bring to your attention, as you can see, the Newmans are not with us today. I think it's Brother Tyree who is preaching in Baltimore today. And so it's always an honor when you have the privilege to go out and to preach God's word. But here as his church family, as anybody goes out, whether it's myself or Pastor Warner or the Newmans, we always need to keep them in prayer as they bring forth the word of God. Because not only are they representing themselves, but they're representing Emory Grove. As they go out and preach the word, and we know that they go forward in a spirit of excellence as they are preaching. For those of you all who are not with us during our time of scripture reading, we'll be coming from Matthew chapter 21, and I will be reading verses number 1 down through verse number 10. When you get there, can you say amen? If you need a little bit more time, say wait. The Bible encourages us that the studies to show ourselves approved, to be a workman who needeth not be ashamed, but able to rightly divide the word of truth. And so whether that's on Sunday morning from 9:30 to 10:30 at Sunday school, whether that's on Wednesday for the young adults, whether that's on the Iron Men or the Women's Bible Study, and even as we move forward in our family Bible study, there are plenty of opportunities for us to grow together in the word of God. Beginning at verse number 1, it says, when they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks you, just say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately. This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They bought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches and trees and spread them on the road. And the crowd that went ahead, if you've ever really wondered why it is that we do what we do, this one week will tell it all. The course of the next 7 days really set the stage for why it is that we come to church every Sunday, why it is that we sing the songs of Zion, why it is that we study the word of God like we do. Everything that is the essence of Christianity happens in the course of this 7 days. And so as I was looking at this passage, you know, you often hear this read on a regular basis, and, you know, people get so excited, like, oh, Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, and, you know, everybody was singing Hosanna in the highest, and, you know, everybody was loving on him, and, you know, he had healed the sick by now, he had, you know, raised some people from the dead, you know, he had called out some folks, you know, he had restored relationships, and here we get to this point in the text, where we see Jesus on his triumphant entry into Jerusalem to begin all of the events that lead up to Monday, Thursday, and that lead up to Good Friday, and that lead up to Resurrection Sunday morning. And I begin to say to myself, you know, I wonder how Jesus felt at this moment. You know, we all like praise. We all like affirmation. Well, I know I like praise. I like affirmation. You know, I like when people tell me, hey, you're doing a good job. You know, I like when people tell me, you know, hey, I like what you said, or, you know, that really blessed me. But I really wonder if Jesus got caught up in what was going on at that moment. And see, it's easy for us sometimes, Pastor Warner, to get caught up in the hype of what people say, and get caught up in the praise that people give us, and to get caught up in kind of like the rhetoric of what people tell us, and we really lose focus of the purpose why God sent us. And so as I begin to look at this text a little bit more, and as I begin to really study it a little bit more, I was like, you know, I believe Jesus didn't get caught up in the hype. You know, here you had this man who literally for 33 years came to this earth and gave of himself time and time and time again. You know, people praised him, and he moved with large crowds. And when he stopped, everybody in the crowd stopped with him. And so here we are at a place where you had this man who was so loved, but the course of the next 7 days told a very different story. The 33 years of his life really didn't correlate to the last week of his life. If you really look at the last week of his life, you would think, you know, Jesus really didn't live a good life. Nobody really liked him. You know, they lied on him. You know, they spit on him. You know, they beat him. They took him up a hill and, you know, put spears in his side. Is this the same man who was healing the sick? Is this the same man who people were seeking after when their loved ones were sick? Is this the same man who was able to raise Lazarus and raise a young man from the dead? Is this the same Jesus? It tells a very different story when you look at the 33 years and when you look at the last 7 days of his life. And so I can imagine in Jesus' mind, he was like, yeah, all this is great. You know, they're singing, they got the palm and they're waving it, singing Hosanna. But these are the same people who on Sunday were praising me and on Thursday were saying, crucify him. And so as we look at the text, there are three quick things that I want to point out to you. As we try not to get caught up in the hype, but instead know our role that God has given us. The first thing that I want to point out is that Jesus knew the importance of the past. In verse number 4, it said, this took place to fulfill what has been spoken through the prophet. Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming, humble and mounted on a donkey. And so the events of Palm Sunday were not something that Jesus orchestrated. It had been foretold by the prophets long before he came. And so because Jesus understood that he did not come for himself, and because Jesus understood that he had a greater purpose in life, he understood that the fulfillment of Palm Sunday had to go just like it was, so that God, when the prophet said it back in the Old Testament, that the same thing that happened there is the same thing that happened in the New Testament. And so nobody would ever have to imagine, well, is that really true? Is this really the Jesus that they were talking about in the Old Testament? Is this the same Jesus that the prophets were talking about? And because things happened exactly like it said it would, that was the validation of who Jesus was. I'm not coming in my own power. I'm not coming in my own authority, but I'm coming under the authority of Jesus, of God who sent me. I'm coming under the authority of the prophets who have spoken what's going to happen, and now I'm the realization of that. Jesus understood the importance of the past. And so what does that mean for me, Reverend Hull? How can I understand the past and what the significance of that is? Whether you believe it or not, God knew that when your parents got together, that you were going to be the byproduct. Yeah. I always tell my students in my health class, when a male and female come together, there are thousands and thousands of sperm that are released. But you're the one that made it. And so God knew that when your parents came together, that you were going to come out like you did. You were going to be the color that you were. You were going to have the greater hair that you did. You were going to have the amount of teeth that you did, the fingers and toes. God already knew how you were going to look. God knew what family you were going to be put into. God knew where you were going to get an education. God knew that you were going to run into that person who got on your nerves. God knew that you were going to be in that bad relationship. God knew that you were going to have that teacher who may get on your nerves. But even though he knew all that, he still had his hand on you. Everything that happened in the 33 years of Jesus' life, God already knew. And what that is a reassurance for us today is that God already knows what you've been through. And more importantly, God already knows where you're going. And essentially, everything that happens in your life is fulfilling the purpose that God has for you. And so those people who get on your nerves, they're part of the purpose. Those bill collectors who call you day after day, they're part of the purpose. That son or that daughter that God has given you that's out of control, that's all part of the purpose. Because God knew that you were going to be just who you are. God knew that you were going to be equipped with the skills and the abilities that you have. And because you're fulfilling the purpose that God has for you, he has his hand on you. And so even though I may not understand where my purpose is, even though I may not understand the end goal, I'm reassured to know that God is with me in the process. So when I'm tired, God is with me. When I get discouraged, God is with me. When I feel like I can't move on anymore, God is with me because he has already spoken things into existence. Don't believe the hype. The second thing that I want to point out is that Jesus knew under whose authority that he was coming. In verse number nine, it said, the crowds went ahead of him and were shouting, Hosanna, son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And so Jesus was not coming in his own authority. Jesus was not looking for people to praise him because he was not the focus of what was going on. Because Jesus understood that he had a greater purpose and that God was using him in a specific way, he wasn't caught up in what the people were saying. He wasn't caught up in the praise. You know, Hosanna is a term of endearment, a term of the highest praise. He didn't get caught up in that because he recognized that he was not moving in his own authority. And so what does that mean for me? I can take affirmation. I can take praise, but at the end of the day, it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. I can take all the positive comments that you give me and the positive feedback that you give me, but at the end of the day, it has nothing to do with me because it is the God within me that allows me to stand. It is the God within me that allows me to move. It is the God within me that allows me to breathe. And how dare I take credit for something that's not my responsibility? When we know our role and we understand our role, I don't have to worry that I'm not qualified enough because God has a greater purpose for me. I can apply for jobs that I may not be qualified for because God has a purpose for me. I can go speak to a boss who I may not like and may not like me because God has a purpose in my life. I can stand up before people who talk about me and people who backbite me and say, greater is the God within me than God that is within the world because I know whose power and whose authority I come under. I can look the enemy in the face and tell him, I'm tired of the lies that you've told me. I'm tired of how you try to make me think I'm less than what I am. I'm tired of you trying to make me think that I need to kill myself. I'm tired of trying to make me think that I'm less than everybody else. Because I know under whose power and whose authority I come under. Tap your neighbor and say, don't believe hype. The third thing I want to point out very quickly, and probably the most important thing, is that Jesus knew that Palm Sunday was a part of the larger purpose. I can't get caught up in Palm Sunday because I know that Good Friday is coming. I can't get caught up in the praise and the affirmation that took place on Palm Sunday because I understand that Easter Sunday is the antithesis of what I believe as a Christian. I can't get caught up in the fact that he was coming in on a colt as a king and should have been coming probably in on a chariot because I know that Palm Sunday was part of a larger scheme in the grand scheme of things. Without Palm Sunday, there would be no Easter. Without the praise and the acclamation that people were singing on Palm Sunday, there would be no Monday, Thursday, or Good Friday. And so as you go throughout things in your life, don't necessarily look at what you're currently going through. Don't look at where you currently are because in the grand scheme of things, it's very small. I can't worry about the fact that I feel like I'm behind in everything. I can't worry about the fact that I feel like I'm not making it like I need to. I can't worry about the fact that I feel like everybody else is getting ahead of me because I know that God has a greater purpose for me. I can't worry about the fact that I wake up in the middle of the night and then I'm tossing and I'm turning and I'm worried and I'm stressed out and my anxiety is off the hook. I can't worry about that because God has a greater purpose for my life. I don't know what that purpose is. I don't know too many people who do. But at the end of the day, because I trust God, That same God who was there in the Garden of Eden. That same God who was there delivering the children of Israel. That same God who was there on Good Friday. That same God who was there in the Middle Passage. That same God who was there in the Civil Rights Movement. That same God who was present in 2016 has a purpose for my life. And so don't look at me as I am right now. I may be a little messed up. I may look a little messed up, but that's all right. Because God has a purpose for me. I may not know scripture like everybody else. I may not be able to stand up and preach like everybody else, but God has a purpose for my life. I may not have all the education that everybody else has. I may not be able to sing like everybody else does. I may not be able to count money like everybody else does, but God has a purpose for my life. Oh, how different the church would be, Pastor Warner, if we were a people who understood we had a purpose. Not that you understood what your purpose was. That's two very different things. But if you could just get in your mind that I have a purpose, there's some things that just wouldn't bother you anymore. There's some people who you would pass by. There's some comments that would come your way that you would begin to filter out because you would say to yourself, I have a purpose. You will not speak to me that way. You will not talk about me that way. You will not treat me that way because God has a purpose for me. You will not disrespect me. You will not call me out my name. My name is McKessie Lenora Holt, and you will refer to me as that. You will not refer to me as a female dog or a slut or a hoe because God has a purpose for me. You will not refer to me as a convenient sex partner or another notch in your belt because God has a purpose for me. You will not refer to me as somebody who doesn't know the word of God. You will not refer to me as somebody who doesn't love God because I may not dress a certain way. You will not refer to me as somebody who doesn't have a purpose because God has a purpose for me. Devil, you will not try to convince me that I am less than what God has told me that I am. I will not believe the lies anymore. I will not believe the hurt and the abuse anymore because God has a purpose for me. Oh, what it would look like, how different our TLC would be if we understood that God has a purpose for us. So if you don't ever affirm me ever again, I'm good. Because I understand that God has a purpose for my life. If I never get national acclaim, I'm good. Because I understand that God has a purpose in my life. If they don't ever know me around Montgomery County or around Maryland or around the United States, I'm good. Because God has a purpose for my life. If you never make it to the NBA or the NFL or the National Baseball League or the National Hockey League, that's all right. Because God has a purpose in your life. And so I wonder today, as we move into Holy Week, if we will become a church of people who understood their purpose, if we will stop getting caught up in the hype, people will praise you one day and call you out your name the next. The same day. People will praise you and say you are the best. And turn around and say, what do you believe? Do you believe what she just said? Don't get caught up in the hype. Hype is very short-lived. And if you don't believe that, Jesus is a great example of that. The same people who on Sunday were saying Hosanna in the highest were the same people, less than 72 hours later, who were saying crucify him. Even though he healed us, crucify him. Even though he brought people back from the dead, crucify him. Even though he healed my body, we want Barabbas instead. I would rather take a liar and a killer over the man who came and gave his life for me. That's the clearest example of the dangers of believing a hype. And please don't walk away from here and say, well, Reverend Holt said we shouldn't affirm anybody. No, that's not what I'm saying. Let me be very clear about that. But what I am saying is that you don't need to let affirmation cloud the purpose that God has for your life. At whatever point ego takes in, that's when you begin to lose your purpose. At whatever point you begin to say, oh, I did that, that's when you begin to lose focus of your purpose. At whatever point you begin to say, my degree got me that job, you've lost your purpose. At whatever point you say, the way I sing got me that solo, you begin to lose your focus. And there's danger in that, because pride comes before the fall. And so my prayer for us is not only that we understand the purpose of God, but that we not get caught up in the hype that the world would try to bring to us. The Bible says, greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. So as you stand to your feet this morning, you may say to yourself, well, Reverend Holt, I hear you. I agree with you. I don't need to get caught up in the hype. But I don't understand how I can get there. Like, I agree with you. I touch and agree with you. But I don't understand how to get there. And the first step in order to understanding our purpose is by having a relationship with Jesus Christ. All the events of this week are so that I can extend the invitation to you like I am right now. To get to know a man who rode in on a donkey on Sunday, who had Last Supper with his 12 disciples, who went out into the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed and was taken away by the soldiers. To meet a man who was brought before the rulers and was found guilty of something that he didn't do. To meet a man who was spit on, who was beaten, who was taken up Calvary and was hung on a cross just for you. If you don't know this man that we're talking about, I extend the invitation for you to come. Get to know this Jesus who all the activities of this week center around, and get to understand the purpose that he has in your life. The second invitation we want to extend it for those of you all who may say, Reverend Holt, I got it. I have a relationship, but I don't have a church home to plug into. We at Emory Gold would love you to be here with us. We would love to help you to grow and to understand the purpose that God has for your life. And the third invitation that we want to extend is for those of you all who have been away from home and may have lost focus of your purpose, and you hear the Spirit of God saying, my son or my daughter, it's time for you to come back home. As the choir sings, if you fall into either one of those three categories, we invite you to come. Is there one who will come? We dare not trust, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Is there one who will come? Be seated. The altar of God is open for any of you all who feel like you need to come and talk to God this morning.